Hello. Folks are probably noticing that this, if you're watching, this is not Tanya. Tara is joining us today from Port Misery. Tara, thank you so much for coming and being with me. I'm so excited to talk about this mess of a week with you.
Oh, no problem. I love it. This is the week to have me, isn't
That's
it?
right.
It's
That's
only
right.
4 days. Everything happened and yet nothing happened. And
Total
we haven't
eclipse of the
moved.
heart.
Yeah.
If you have not liked, subscribed, or share us with your friends, please do that. We appreciate all of the comments generated. I say this every week, and I say it because we actually really do appreciate it. People are like popping on Instagram. People are popping in our comments. I put up a little poll that was like, if I wanted to do like some reaction stuff during the week, would you be down? So not soon-ish, but like soon-ish might like do some kind of like watching back old stories and like reacting to it. But yeah. Anyway, Tara, how are you? My
I'm
little
good. I'm good. I'm studying for my comps so I can officially get this PhD popping. I got a new game which is taking up the other section. Like I have like 70% of my life is dedicated to my comps, and then I have like 28 dedicated to my job, and then I have the last two, I guess like one like point 0.0001% is dedicated to GH, and then the rest of that is dedicated to Crusader Kings. It is an insane game. You should not buy it. It'll take over your life. It's just so involving. It's kind of expensive, but it's a very it's have you ever seen you don't like scary stuff. There's like this
No.
Black Mirror Bandersnatch, and he's building this crazy story-based game, and it has all these different ways. It's kind of like that. You start a kingdom from like the medieval times, and you try, and it's based in history. So you're going up against real kingdoms and real people, and
That's
you
why
get
you
to,
like it.
yeah, and you start a court, and you have to like maintain, you have heirs, and it goes by real historical rules. So like I'm on my third queen. I started from West Africa. We're the
Okay.
Igbo
Oh, no, that's right.
tribe. Yeah, so we're gonna take over Europe. I have to like get feudalism. I have to unite Africa, and then we're taking over Europe. We're kidnapping the Pope.
I really just love the black girl nerd vibes that run through this podcast. It's like when Ty is here, she's talking about Star Trek and Star Wars. You're here talking about this game. The black girl nerd energy really gives me life.
I know we're gonna Uno reverse history. We're gonna invade Europe with our West African paganism because we don't need the white man's religion.
There you go. There you go.
But yeah, that's the main thing. And it's like a story-based game, so you have options. You have to like make choices as the ruler. Like I was playing it last night before I went to bed, and like before I went to sleep, literally, because back to back, I found out my sister and brother are sleeping together. I was like,
What in the Game of Thrones is this?
right? And they got the trait incestuous. And then I found out my daughter was sleeping with my shaman. And I was like, this is too much. This is too chaotic. Well, she got the fornicator. This is like, I think we're in 990 or something like that. So you can't be out here sleeping with random people. Like, I'm gonna forgive you, girl. I got her out of prison, but like, don't do that.
This
But yeah.
is better than GH, if I'm being honest with you.
It is. Like, when I watch GH, I'm like, I could be playing Crusader Kings. Like, I don't need to.
Storylines more realistic, less repetitive.
It is not kid. I don't think kids watch this, but it is not like if you're watching this, you're a parent. You're like, I should get my child this. It is not kid friendly. There's lots of nudity in this game for no reason. Like,
It's the Game of Thrones of games.
yes, because I play as a woman because in the Igbo tradition, it's a matriarchy. And like another woman tried to challenge me for my kingdom, and all of a sudden it was titties everywhere. I was like, what's happening? What's going on in this
Okay.
game? And so it's not, it's definitely a mature game. But I mean, I guess you'll learn a lot if you want to know about different African tribes or European kingdoms or Asian kingdoms. You could play as anything.
Okay.
But yeah, that's a lot. I'm
Wow.
sorry.
No, it's okay. I actually went to the movies, and like if you know me, I do not really like to leave the house. I go for like a walk in my neighborhood. And that's, you know, like, I'm pretty in the house. But I went to the movies on a Friday. That's when you know. Because I do love a matinee where I'm there kind of by myself. That's really my movie vibe. But I went to the movies on a Friday. And I went to go see Dev Patel's movie, Monkey Man.
Ooh, I heard that was good.
So good. First of all, Dev Patel is bae. Ben bae is bae, will be bae. Mm-hmm. Fine as hell. I'm ready for my man to be on everything. I need him in rom-coms. I need him in all the things. He looks so good. But he also is so talented. I didn't realize that he directed it, like co-wrote it, and he started it. I said, and I went with a friend whose family is from India, and she's lived in India. So she was kind of like commenting on like some of the accuracy and like how like special it was to see some things. So that was like really cool. Like, you know, if you listen to this podcast, you know, I talk a lot about how I really do appreciate like culturally specific things, because I think when things are culturally specific, it causes people to like go Google or go like look it up or have conversation and not try to like whitewash or American wash things for people. Like, you actually, so it was like based upon the religion from Hanuman, and it was like cool because Hanuman is like talked about in Black Panther, because the tribe with Winston Duke's tribe you know, my other bae, and Baku's tribe also talked about Hanuman and like just thinking about like what is the connection between India and Africa, like that kind of thing. So anyway, if you haven't seen it, I mean, I enjoyed seeing it in the theater. It was like very much like a theater type movie. It was giving like Kill Bill / like John Wick. Yeah, like with like some land back in transjustice. I was like, okay, we in here. So, you know, if you see it in the theater, see it in the theater. If you don't do theaters, like I usually don't, you know, you should definitely see it when it comes to streaming. So,
now I can't wait. I want to see it. I probably wait until streaming because I never have time to leave the house anymore. But I mean, I'm teaching world history this quarter, and I usually teach US, so it's fun. It's a nice change. And trying to explain to them the globalness of the world that already existed prior to 1492 is always interesting to them, because they just think of the professor I'm working with is my advisor, and he's really good. He like brings like six students on the, like, they teach on a stage because they're in a studio, like a stadium type classroom, because it's like 500 kids. And so he'll like bring six of them on, and he'll make one of them like Europe, one of them's China, one of them's like the Kingdom of Savannah, one of them like Mughal in India, stuff like that. And he'll give, he's like, you're China, you get a candy because you're big and strong and important. And like, you're Mughal India, you get a candy because you're big and strong and important. And like, you're the Kingdom of Savannah, you get a candy because you're big and strong and important. Europe, you don't get anything. You suck. Explain where like Europe is in prior to 1492, and then he's like, past 1492, he's like, give me your candy, give me your candy, give me your candy, like Europe, you get all the candy, like,
yeah, that's really trying, cool.
Yeah, but like trying, because they just think that the world begins in 1492, and so trying to get them to see the connections that like all these really big African kingdoms are like in trade all the way to China for like centuries. Mm-hmm. Like, they've all been trading with each other for like 1500 years prior to finding the Americas. And so there's like a lot of connection, a lot of like stories transfer. Like, you can find that a version of the Moses story all the way from like sub-Saharan Africa to China.
Right. And the Jesus story too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I'm like, in my mind, because I do a lot of training of like new organizers, it's been really like some joy for me, and like giving this like knowledge I used to think was like very useless, like I know how to run a staging location from start to finish, like and being able to like impart that's like you were I love trying to figure out new ways to help people like feel it and hear it and touch it and see it. Let's get into GH. Let's get into this week of the show. We had, like we said, 4 days. The first day was Monday, was eclipsed by the eclipse. Like that wordplay.
I just love that an eclipse, like We're so, like, we're the most sophisticated humanity's ever been, but let a solar eclipse happen and we all like, devolve into the Aztecs. We're like, it's time.
We're like, let's look at it without glasses. I was like, what was it? What was our ancestors doing? Because like, they wouldn't readily producing glasses for everybody. So what was happening? Anyway,
let's panicking. Start the week. True. That's what they were doing.
Look, speaking of panic, let's get into that transition. Sunny threatens Jason this week. So Jason is obviously like, I'm coming back, I'm taking what's mine, but I'm legit. I'm a coffee importer. Keep your business away from my business. And Sunny is like, I'll run up on you.
First of all, how is Jason? Because like, when Carly was in trouble with the feds, she couldn't even, like, be around criminals. Like, she couldn't have Sunny pay for anything because then she's around. And then, like, same with Drew. Like, Jagger ran up on Drew. Like, you on parole, so you can't be around your brother or some bullshit. But Jason, who's, like under the FBI thumb, he can just go and take Carly's car. They're like, it's fine. You do what you gotta do. A man's gotta work. Like,
ridiculous. Ridiculous. So,
Jason got performer of the week in my heart for telling Sunny that if he wanted to get him, he would have been got. I was
notice I skipped performer of the week. Because I feel like as a viewer watching this nonsense, I was performer of the week. I try, because I know, like, for me, I was, like, saying this last week, I, like, love to look at people's reaction videos, and if it's something that I like, I kind of don't want to watch somebody in their whole time, they're just talking about how they hate it, so I'm trying this week, but I'm like, I am performer of the week, I am the audience who's performing watching this.
I mean, I think the performances are what's saving this freaking show, because the writing certainly is not, because you have like Jason. First of all, Jason seemed so earnest when Sunny came in. He's like, hey, Sunny. I was like, this man told you to go to hell last time you talked to him. You're like, hey, Sunny, I'm back at work.
Hey, friend.
And then Sunny's like, I don't want you here.
Jason's like, you want to do a TikTok together? I saw the...
Is it like Sunny's acting crazy? So obviously Jason's like, are you on your medication? Like, what's, are we having a breakdown? Are you seeing hell? And he's just like, of course I'm on my medication. Why would you ask me that? So, and like,
the way Jason asked him, it was very much like, you on your meds? It was the concern was serious. I agree. I thought it was weird. And I think that what Jason said is what we have all been saying. Like, if Jason wanted you dead, you would be dead. And you like talking about you finna send shooters at Jason. Who are your shooters? Who are going to shoot Jason? Yo, people, Frank, let him in the front door.
Jason is like the Khaleesi of the fucking poor Charles that was going after him.
Like Frank dapped him up like he hadn't seen it. Like, bro, so good to see you. Sure, the door's right open. Like, didn't even announce him, didn't ask Sunny if he wanted to see him, just like letting him in. So Jason is the person who used to be your shooters. You finna send your shooters at Jason? That's your threat?
Jason seems like he could easily just take this mob. He could just have a powwow with everybody in the mob, be like, so I'm gonna run things from now. We agreed.
He's done it before.
Yeah, that's how we did it last time. We literally just called everyone up, like, I'm in charge now. And everyone's like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, of course. Totally. Totally you're in charge. Why not?
Mm-hmm. Ugh. Anyway. Anthony got to keep the mob compound that time. So he was like he was in a mob compound, but he wasn't a mobster. And then he had to marry into the Zakara family. Like, some weird courtly love type shit where I gotta go find a new kingdom to run. I love that the mob operates like a medieval, like, castle system.
That's why everybody wanted, like, the West Coast threat, that I guess we don't talk about anymore, but wanted that to be Morgan.
I mean, they would really have to explain to me how Morgan became so perfect, because the last time we saw Morgan mobbing, he was, like, getting Kiki shot and trying to tell the judge that he was protecting his dad's territory. You know, he was... not aware of the rules of engagement. And so they really would have to explain to me how, like, they just downloaded someone's mob brain into his brain or something.
Something. Or he's, I don't know. I don't know what could have happened, but it wasn't. This story for me is not it.
It's just so many moving parts, and then you don't understand any of them.
Yeah.
And then they have to sort of. One of the things that really bugs me is that, like, they've spent like 2 years having Carly demand to stand on her own 2 feet, and Jason comes back for a month and she's just like, I guess I'll just let Jason save me. It's what he's here right. for.
Like, sweep me into your arms, Jason. I will say that during Jason's absence, I've talked a lot about how Sunny kind of doesn't work without Jason. But for me, Carly actually worked better without Jason. She was able to, like, I like the Carly-Jason friendship, like, 100%. I don't want them in a romantic relationship, but I like their friendship. But she does become very damseled in distress around him in a way that she's not when he's not around. So it just was, it has been a little frustrating, like, watching this. We hear, like, Jason tell Diane that he's, that, like, the way he split up his fortune was that, you know, Carly got a half and his kids were, like, sharing a half. Now, granted, this is not, like, mine and your half, right? Like, if I did that, you'd be like, damn, so anybody gonna get nothing but, you know, whatever. For Jason, this is, like, a fortune. But also, what? Why? It just was like a piece of information that wasn't necessary. Like, we get it. You do not have to continue to tell us that Jason puts Carly above all and that she's very important to him. Like, you don't have to do that in that way. We know. We're aware.
Yeah, and it wasn't even like, oh, just in case she, like, loses all of her fortune in a dumb way. It was like, Carly was already, like, she was owner of the Metro Court. She had several post-divorce settlements from millionaires. Like, she was fine.
Billionaires.
She didn't need money. Yeah, like, yeah, Jax is up there. And so she didn't need the money. And it's this kind of weird sort of offshoot. Like, they couldn't figure out a way to, like, divide the money three ways. And it'd be weird to give her an equal share to his son. So they were like, we'll just give her more. And what, so she can take care of, like, her kids? Like, her kids have daddies to take care of them.
Right.
You know? And Michael has several. He has the Quartermains and Sonny. Jocelyn has Jack. Avery and Donna have Sonny. Or, you know, they're fine.
Everybody's fine. I'd also say that what was weird was, like, he was questioning why Carly was, like, not rich as she was, but didn't question, like, why Liz wasn't. You know what I mean? Because, like, you went to her house and she had no hot water. Like, you didn't question
to her being poor. Like, yeah, this tracks. Liz is struggling to survive. She's a single mom who works too hard, who loves her kids and never stops. Like, that's her story.
That's the Cameron Weber story. But yeah, it's just like, oh, I don't know. I think that this, along with some other things, are being done really heavy-handed in a way that isn't necessary to be done. Like, I understand this is like a new writing regime who's coming in like, this is my territory, very much like Sunny. Like, this is my territory. I write this. Like, these are my stories. And while if you really understand behind the scenes, like, you could, you're not going to like it, but you can see it. But if you're like a normal viewer, you're like, why is this being done this way? Like, it's just, it doesn't make sense.
It's just like the whole, there's a lot of like highlighted focus on like characters, but then they're not for no reason. You know, like, we're getting this highlighted focus on like the Jarsason relationship, Yeah, Jarson. Yeah, I think that's what I named it. Jarson. That's the Unholy Trio ship name, Jarson.
Oh, okay.
And, like, they're focusing on, like, oh, isn't it weird that the three of them aren't coming together and, like, all this? And it's like, but it's about Pikeman. So, like, we should actually be seeing more of Valentine. Like, we've seen him twice. And he's supposed to be the big bad guy, and he's nowhere to be found. And then they're like sidelining people. They're having the same pacing issues that Chris and Dan had, yep. where like it's abjectly, you know, better, is more entertaining, but then like we're not learning anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like we're watching other characters learn things that we already know,
right? And it's also not in a compelling way, because it's also being told in a very one-sided way, where it's like, yeah, of course we know Diane hates Nina, and like she was mostly accurate, but like when Sunny was, for example, telling Lois about what happened, like that's not what happened. So, you know, you're seeing people be able to like tell these stories that are from their point of view, but there's no checking it. And some of this stuff happened so long ago that like it like then reframes what actually happened.
I mean, Diane was actually inaccurate. She said that Nina tried to sell the hotel back to Carly. She tried to give it to her.
Yep, sure did.
She didn't want to sell it to her. She was like, here you go. And Carly's like, I don't want shit from you.
Right. Which then made it not make sense that she didn't sell it to other people.
Yeah.
So it was, even that story was silly. But yeah, to your point, like they just keep changing things. And I think, you know, I'm fine because my faves are fine, but not actually, that's not true, but like, you know, it makes the people who I don't really care for look really foolish, but that's not actually how I want the story to be told. Like, people can just be foolish as being foolish. So I didn't actually even mind, if we think about like the Drew and Nina hate sex, I didn't mind that it happened. Everything surrounding how it happened was stupid. So we have Michael and Willow show up to the Metro Court for their anniversary dinner. I actually didn't mind that. Nina finds out that they're there and like tries to take it over. It's like, here's this champagne and here's these five courses. They're not poor. You're not doing them a favor. They, everything that you're doing, they could order themselves. Michael's rich.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, he's probably a VIP there based on his relationship with Olivia and based on his relationship with Carly before that the staff really still likes.
It seems like a Chillo theme. Like if Willow was with Chase.
This yes. Would more- right, exactly.
They would have been struggling to pay.
Chase would have sold his truck. No, he's only doing that. He only does that for Brooklyn. Don't quote me.
I mean, but Brit's gonna be like, the fuck?
But he, like, so she does this, and then when they, like, rightfully are like, girl, get away from us, she, like, goes to Drew, and I didn't understand that. Why do you think Drew would do anything for you?
I feel like, so at the end of the week, we had that crazy scene where Nina runs into Carly and Jagger and then like immediately runs to Drew to like throw it in his face. But like Curtis and Michael are there. And I feel like we're going to get another scene after that with Nina and Drew. I feel like them sleeping together should be after that scene. And that like when the story plotting was going out and they were like editing the show together, they were like, this looks too much like Drew's response to Carly supposedly sleeping with Jagger after like leaving him in his mind for Jason. Mm-hmm. And that just makes him sound desperate and like Nina coded. And so let's change it and make it more of like his own personal choice of wanting to sleep with her. I think that like they're giving Drew the writing that they should potentially be giving Nina. I think the main issue is that they have her wanting too many things. Like, she wants all these things. She wants Willow. She wants Sunny. She wants the Metro Court, not anymore, question mark. She wants Crimson. She wants the Invader. She wants, like, she can't focus. And I think the one thing she should want is Willow. I think that, like, he has this, like, line where he's like, Sunny, don't even think about you. He don't want you. And, like, it would have been, for me, really good if she was like, I can't think about that. I cannot think about that. Like, whatever happens with me and Sunny is with me and Sunny, but I'm focused on how I get a relationship with my daughter. That's what I care about. And then at least, like, Drew could be like, okay, well, at least she's serious about wanting a relationship. Even if she's not willing to admit why she doesn't have a relationship with her daughter, she's at least singularly focused on that. But they keep, you know, and then her sleeping with Drew is like less about, you know what? I'll say the way Cynthia played it, fuck the way it's written, the way Cynthia played it, it did seem like she slept with Drew for Drew. Like, the dialogue is crazy with her being like, did Carly say you have a good body? But, like, when he was like, let me stop and ask for consent, and she was like, don't be a little bitch. Like, that was just here to fuck, right? I'm not doing it to make Sonny jealous or Carly jealous or nobody. I'm just gonna fuck this fine man standing in front of me. And that's decent. That's like her playing it that way worked for me.
That was, I thought, was the most interesting. The dialogue around it, to steal your words, was bananaramas. Like, that dialogue was like really wild. The setup for why it happened was really wild. But I did like this idea of, ain't nobody messing with me, and this man is fine in front of me. So, like, I want to do this. I thought that that was interesting. I thought it was, like, kind of, like, something that we could have seen coming, but also in the way. I didn't hate the hate sex. I also really hope this does not develop a relationship.
No.
Now, bringing in some real life stuff, the morning, so this happened on Tuesday. So Tuesday morning, before the show aired, Cameron Matheson was like posting on Instagram. And so he posted this like shirtless picture and all this stuff, and him and Nina. And I was like, what is this? Because if you know, I had been pushing for a Drew and Jordan match. Mostly because, one, I think they just really look sparkly together. Like, aside from anything around, like, storyline, anytime they're in a scene together, they just look good together. And I think it, like, gets Drew in, like, a more interesting place. But more importantly for me, like, for Tracy, I want Nina gone, but I want Jordan in this, like, front burner story with a pairing with somebody who's on contract. I loved Jordan and Zeke. And if they would have brought Zeke in and built out, like, Porsche's family, and, like, we would have seen Zeke, and they would put him on contract, and he was, like, a constant, like, you know, player in the show, I would have loved it. I would have preferred that. But he's not. And so what we have in front of us is, like, who can we put Jordan's fine self with? How is this woman on our screen and we don't have men, women, and everybody else banging down her door?
I wish they would have brought Zeke on. He could have been a really good character. He was a lawyer.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that would have put him in the orbit of so many. He could have gone so many different ways. Could have put him in the DA's office. Could have had him be like a business lawyer for like EOQ or Aurora if you wanted to like build those out. He could have like gone the super cray cray route of being a mob attorney.
I would have loved to see him build out an attorney thing with Diane, and they bring Alexis in and they can do their own little law office.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like, there was just so many ways to go, and then have that, and then he would just be like, him and Jordan didn't have to necessarily be forever. I think that, like, I wish, I love Black Hospital, but like Black Genoa City does it better. Mm-hmm. And like Black Genoa City, there are issues, and I can't get into them because it's not about Young and the Restless, but like the characters, the Black characters in Genoa City feel like they're a part of Genoa City, and they like date with the white characters. It is not some weird special occurrence. It is something where like Lily has banged several prominent white men in Genoa City. Like, you know, Devon is banging several prominent white women on top of like he's cheating on Black women with white women. Like, which is not my favorite trope, right? But, like, they exist within that town. It's not, like, this side separate thing, and we're going to the clansion, and we're seeing, like, Curtis is learning how to walk, and, like, it's super... Because, I mean, there was all these sort of, like... And they're valid. They're all valid criticisms of, like, Portia, or, like, criticism about the criticism. All criticism is valid. But, like, the Portia coming at, like, Laura and Kevin and Alexis, mm-hmm. shit. And I'm like, but at least she's outside of, like, her husband's walking story. Right. You know, she gets to have an opinion about, mm-hmm. something other than her husband's like legs working. Mm-hmm. That's more interesting. Like, Hat Daddy rarely gets to have any opinion outside of Black Hospital. Aunt Stella's literally there to like prop other people, like, you're gonna be all right, baby. Like, you know, I hope they build a more even friendship between her and Tracy, because right now she's just the patient, she's the GH advocate for every white character on the show. You know, Trina's just been disappeared.
We haven't seen her in like 2 weeks.
Yeah, her boyfriend fell into a river, and now all of a sudden she's disappeared in her off-screen grief. Like, also cheering Curtis on.
And next week, I think she's going to be asking Joss and Dex what's going on, which I actually think is funny, because I would love to see her like in a situation like that, but I also want more for her. Let me back up, because I do want to talk more about Black Hospital with you. What I was going to say about Cameron Matheson is that I had commented on the picture and was like, so this is messy, a little soapy, but does this like stop a potential Jordan and Drew ship? And he's like, nope. That was like exactly what he said. I was like, oh, my DeLulu, it's back. it's back. So we'll see what happens. But I do think, to your point about Black Hospital, this has been my point even when we talk about, and I said this about Trina, that, okay, so say I don't know what's happening with Spencer. I think that that has been a real hang up for that character. We talk a lot about like sidelining and sidekicking. And the reality is, like, she was really sidelined in her relationship. I didn't feel like the writing for them was like whole. They had like, and they weren't really embedded in the rest of the show. They had like separate story. And so for me, when you write a couple, the best way to write a couple is that they have like some couple story, and then they have like individual story each. And that wasn't what we saw with Trina. We didn't see, like, I would have loved to see her do more at the gallery. Like, you remember when she did like the whole exhibition and like everybody came? Like, that was a really cool story, because it got Trina mixing it up with everybody in town. We could have had a redo of that where Spencer actually came without Esme. You know what I mean? And like, we actually saw, like, how do you mix it up and then also show that they're a couple? And we didn't get that for Sabrina. And because of that, with Spencer gone, they didn't have story for Trina, because they weren't invested in Trina. They were invested in just that coupling. And so now here we are, like, where is she at? And I can think of a million stories I could tell for Trina. So this is not an excuse at all. But it's like, this is actually what I was worried was going to happen. Because we all knew, regardless of whether Spencer's gone, whether if Nicholas is coming back, if he's not, we all knew that he wasn't going to be on the show forever. Like, he was very clearly going somewhere else. And I never wanted for her to be sidelined in the way that she is. And so if we do bring on like anyone else for her, if it's not Spencer, and I was saying that I would prefer that it would be like a Black young man who's tied to like a legacy family, and they actually build out that legacy family. The Ashfords do not have to be the only Black family in town. Bring back some Wards, bring back a Hardy or two, because like if they're Hardy, they're connected to Elizabeth, right? Is that right? Am I making that up?
By marriage. Yeah, her grandmother was married to Dr. Hardy.
Okay. Or like a Ward or somebody who could like be like challenge Michael for the throne of like ELQ or whatever it is, but like actually embedded in story that's happening and in a relationship. I don't want them to bring on a side character for Trina that doesn't get investment. I want them to bring on, if there is another character, that's somebody that is like fully embedded. And that way, when they bring Spencer back, trope old as time, then she's kind of already embedded, and she like feels like, you know, torn between, because it's how super couples, and that's how like traditional big couples are made, that you have this breakup and then you have like this heart-wrenching, like, do we get back together, do we not? Like, that is actually what those kind of couples are made of. So that's what I would like to see. I would like them mixing it up with people who are very established in town. And unfortunately, the people who are very established in town are not other Black people.
Yeah, I mean, the Sabrina story, like, one, it was always very weird because, like, she forever stayed a third wheel in Spesme's story.
Yeah.
And they would find a way to continuously tell this third wheel story that, like, it should be a triangle, but it shouldn't be a triangle because Esme's right. awful. Like, it shouldn't right. be a choice. It should be an easy, like, get out of here, girl. But then they kept having reasons for her to be there. And then they would play this, like, somehow Trina wanting to just be with her boyfriend is, like, getting in the way of, like, him raising this baby. That's not his baby.
Right.
And, like, why tell the story of him raising a baby that's not his baby? Like, just somehow make it his baby, and then the secret is it's actually Nicholas's baby. And it's just like the dun-dun-dun. Like, she is the one who figures it out. It's more about her asserting herself. Or then, like, even in the death, like, because it was this, like, third wheel triangle bullshit, it's like once they both went over into the river, like, the story ends because, like, they're in the center of it. Like, even because, like, I thought Avery Pohl was a good actress. I have no time for Esme, but I thought killing her, like, took any, like, where is Trina supposed to put her rage and anger besides, like, other characters who may or may not deserve it as much? And, like, Esme always had something to stand on. She always had the fact that they took her son from her.
Mm.
That she's still, you know, like, even if she was sitting in prison, like a Nell situation, you go to prison and see her, and, like, you have these big explosive scenes where Trina gets right. to confront her, and she, you know, obviously she's gonna sit and be like, well, he stole my baby and you just flew to Paris with him, so I don't feel bad. And, you know,
right,
you
right.
have the audience could have the sort of enmity they've been wanting to have for her that, like, Chris and Dan, like, refused to let us have. Mm. I mean, we still had it, but they were like, no, she's changed. She's a mother, you know. She's becoming Lorelei, or, like, all these kind of crazy. They were like, no, we want to tell whatever story we want to tell. We do not care what you want. Mm-hmm. And now that we're done telling it, like, we're yeeting them both off of a boat, and we're giving the baby to Laura, and now Trina lives in the off-screen extended universe. And this is such a terrible way to sort of be. And, like, even she doesn't even get to be in the boring black hospital Curtis walking story.
Yeah she wasn't in the scene with, like, Hat Daddy and Kevin. Like, we haven't seen her have any, like, conversation with Laura. You would think that they would want to lean on each other. I know I'd seen a little bit about people wanting her to, like, snap on Laura. I mean, whatever, but, like, why would they not be at least leaning on each other? We don't see that. It's very bizarre. I would have also liked to see her, you know, doing too much and then people having to be worried about her and pulling her back from doing too much. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, she's at work, she's at school, she's this, she's that. And people being, like, worried she's going to, like, break, and then her being able to have this really big blow up at everybody.
But they're not doing that. No. And I also think that she should have been the one to, like you said, yell at poor Kevin and Alexis and Laura over Heather than Portia, because, like, he killed, like, Heather killed her first boyfriend and Esme killed her second boyfriend.
Right.
I don't give a fuck about this bitch's hip. Like, take her fucking, you know, get a hip. That way you don't have to be jumping out of second story windows after you hook my man. Like, even though I didn't even want him anymore, but I didn't want him to get hooked.
I just wanted to break up with him real cool.
Like, I didn't even get a chance to break up with him. And then I brought my new boyfriend to his funeral and it was awkward. So I want you in jail for that.
It was one of my favorite things, to be quite honest. I said, that's some player shit. I know that's right, Trina.
I have them on, like, what is this from Tu Wong Fu? Thanks for everything, Julie Newmar. I got a man for every light on Broadway. One goes out, I just screw another one in.
I know that's right, Trina. But see, that's what I'm talking about. That's like, if we're telling those stories, like, let's tell those stories. But I think that also that, like, goes into them not being even invested in that age group.
Yeah.
It's just, it's all, anyway. Also, into Nina and Drew and their, like, hate sex, which I love where we went from that.
Hilarious.
I want to talk about Drew saying it was 45 minutes. Sir, it was not. And I want to talk about Nina saying that it was a down payment, which, girl, what are you doing? That's all I want to talk about with it, to be honest. I don't need to talk about it further. I just need to name that both of those things were said.
I just need everybody in real life to be realistic about how long 45 minutes is. I need people to be realistic about how long 20 minutes is. Like, let's just keep it real. Sex isn't that great where you're just like, I need to be doing it for hours and hours and hours. Like, there's so many other things. Like, it's good in the moment, and then you start thinking about it and you're like, I actually have to do, like, as soon as I get done with this, I have to do my taxes. And that would be the first thing that pops into my mind. Actually, I have to go to sleep. I have to wake up in the morning. I have to do things. But, like, okay, fine. 45 minutes on some, like, gross floor that's clearly not been vacuumed because the Metro Court's gone to hell. Then my thing that was crazy was that you had the scene in the, like, sex, you know, the seduction scene where Drew was actually like, I'm going to stop and give you a moment to, like, back out of this. In case, you know, you don't want to do this. And she's like, you old bitch. But then, like, immediately after they're done, she's like, you took advantage of me. That was
ridiculous.
Horrendous writing.
Honestly, I can't. It's hard because this writing is so over the top. You know what I mean? And I think part of it is because with Chris and Dan's writing, they left stuff too ambiguous.
Mm-hmm.
And with this writing, they're like, we are going to tell you how you're supposed to feel about this.
Yeah.
And I think that there is a happy medium somewhere so that we are all dealing with the same set of facts, but you could feel how you feel about the facts. And that's what's missing. Because Nina is, as a person, certified Nina hater over here, 100%. I have a PhD. In Nina hating. And I still was like, what is this? Like, that writing of being like, this, you took advantage of me writing, her saying that was really gross. And you said this during Brit Space, Brit Does Spaces on Twitter. Like, it really plays into this trope that women would lie about being assaulted. And I don't like that. It was not good writing. It was really disgusting. I guess I'm glad that it came and went, but I'm disgusted that it was said at all.
I mean, I think they could have had some back and forth about who wanted who more.
Yes. Yes.
Rather than like, you took advantage of me, you know, like, and I think that that's an issue where they don't know how to write regretting consensual sex in a way that doesn't blame the other person. And like they can't, and then as for, because Doc said this in like Brit Space too, that they're trying to play into Nina's sort of like main flaw, which is that she can't take responsibility for anything because she automatically warps her own reality to turn herself into the victim of any situation she's in. Right. And like, how do I spin this for whoever I'm gonna have to deal with to make them understand that this is not my fault?
Right.
And in that situation, you actually can't have a woman do that. You cannot. There's no way to flip her having consensual sex with a man into something that's not her fault and her choice.
Right. Right. No, it was not. It wasn't okay. I hated it. Just don't do that again. Like, I know Liz and Pat don't listen to this podcast, but I'll put it in the universe. Don't do that again.
Yeah, just don't do it again. Because that's one of the things I thought that was really great about the scene is that, like, under Chris and Dan, like, this freaking soap is almost turned into, like, it's Mormon or something. Or, like, super, like, really highly conservative. Mm-hmm. Where, like, you can't even kiss somebody unless you have some, like, future planned with them.
Right.
You know, like, everyone's got to be a courtin' and stuff like that. As opposed to, like, just having random fucking sex with people because you're an adult and you feel like it.
Right.
You know, and 100%. Like that, the main reason why, like, you and me and a few other people don't want Drew and Nina to get together, because, like, it'll take away from the idea that, like, you can be two consenting adults who are not in love with each other, don't even really like each other, but, like, have consented to have sex because, you know, sex can be fun, not for 45 minutes, but, like, for a reasonable amount of time. Yeah, on the floor of someone's office. Like, and the idea, yeah, this is a down payment, like,
gross.
Girl, what? Gross. And that's the thing. I noticed who wrote the episode that day, and I was like, ugh.
It was the same person who wrote the cabin scenes, right? That we all hated?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, like, when do you realize that you're just out of touch with how men and women talk to each other? Mm. You know?
Well,
I guess it's more acceptable because I guess they're like Gen Xers, and so maybe they would still. But you definitely can't be writing the Zoomers like that. You really shouldn't write the Millennials either.
Well, there you go. Well, speaking of more weird writing, Carly runs into Jagger getting beat up. I think she doesn't know it's Jagger at the time, realizes it's him after she honks her horn, and the not robbers, because they didn't steal anything, run off. He clearly might be concussed, so Carly reminds us all that she once went to nursing school, didn't graduate. And so she takes Jagger to the Metro Court instead of the hospital and stays up with him all night, waking him up every few hours to make sure that he is not concussed. Let's pause there. How do you feel about any of this story?
I just think that it goes into, I know that some people, here's the thing, Laura Wright has like indiscriminate Kim turned on. She is not just having selective Kim with selective people. She's like, I am a free agent currently. Drew broke up with me. And so that's there. I'm not going to say that they weren't Kimming it up. Do I like it? No. But I think it goes back to like the writing issue, is that like they want to be so heavy handed. It's like they reveal one of their cards and then they like make it this sort of like, now we have to shift the entire tone of people's relationships to make this new card reveal make sense. And so like a couple of days before all this, they reveal that like Carly is the one who they have shit on, that's like Jason's doing all this for. And so it's Jagger that's threatening Carly. Jagger is the one who's going to put her in jail. And so now we have to have this very heavy-handed scene because we don't even know who beat his ass. Like they haven't told us, they haven't given us any indication.
Right.
Excuse me. I think they want us to think it might be Sunny. Maybe it's Pikeman. Maybe we don't know. But like, the whole reason it exists is so you can humanize Carly to Jagger. You could have done that at Kelly's. You didn't actually need to have him get beat in the streets. And then she's just like there. But they're like, wait a minute, wait a minute. What if like we're humanizing Carly at the Metro Court and then Nina walks on? And then Nina sees that. Right. And then she goes, runs up. And it's like this very heavy-handed, childish, because even Nina... The whole reason between her running upstairs didn't make any sense. I'm like, are you an adult? Like, are you a mature? Is this coma brain happening again where you just can't control? Like, you were in a coma that one time, so you just can't be mature and you can't act like a reasonable human being during work hours. You got to just run through your own hotel telling anyone who will listen that this woman is sleeping with an FBI agent. Like, it's just very weird. This, I want to have people look crazy and this person look good, and like we've been saying, Carly is my fave.
Right,
Carly's my fave. So like, sure, give her great writing, but I'm not gonna give you like a gold star for like hand feeding me what I want. Mm-mm. Like, no, like, right. Oh, you're just gonna have like, she's just gonna get the hotel back. You guys said you wanted it, right? You wanted her to have the hotel back, and look how terrible it is. All of a sudden, the Metro Court is just burst into flames.
Right. And none of it is Olivia's fault. It's all Nina's fault.
None of it's Olivia's fault. She was busy taking care of her shot son. And Nina's just out here, like, tanking the place. It's so silly and heavy-handed.
Not good.
And, like, it all goes together. I mean, that's what I think that some the writers don't seem to understand. Like, you just had Carly be the one person out of everyone to go watch Jagger get beat up between studios. Because every time I see the, like, fake alleyways, I'm just like, that's a soundstage, that's a soundstage. He's getting beat up. She takes them to the hotel. Wouldn't everybody see them walk through the hotel?
With him bloody? And why would you even allow an FBI agent to tell you not to take him to the hospital? What is it? Like, it's not as if he is, like, Jason or Sonny, who's doing something illegal. Like, he actually is, like, an officer of the law, whatever that means. And why would you even imagine that he wouldn't want to go to the hospital and get checked out? Why would you be the only person that knew that you were doing this? Why wouldn't you text somebody? Like, it just didn't make any sense. And like you said, it was really heavy-handed. They could have had her, Carly, taken to the hospital and then and stay with him all night to do the humanizing. And then they could have had her taken back to the Metro Court and wait for the food to come and the same scene play out. But this idea that she, like, slept in a chair, and like, that was all very silly.
Who had Donna?
She said she left her with the nanny. Also doesn't make sense.
This nanny is just like a freaking indentured servant. She just gotta stay. She can see her family sometimes. She's like Sophia in The Color Purple after she gets out of friggin' prison. Like,
also, where do Avery be at?
I don't know. Her mom's running around her dad's penthouse taking random pills.
Oh, goodness.
These women.
It was, but yeah, I also think that Carly and Jagger have chemistry. I don't like them together. I think it was the same thing with, like, I read Karen Matheson's, like, interview after the whole hookup between Drew and Nina. And he was like, yeah, I didn't see it coming. I'm like, if you didn't see it coming, then why have you been playing this character like this? You just turned into Ryan Lavery and said, I don't care. Like, you have been kimming with her and described, like, what was you doing?
Yeah.
So I think, you know, Laura Wright and Adam Herring. I think it's his name. They have chemistry. I don't think chemistry, and I've never thought chemistry was enough to, like, create a relationship. So no, I don't like it. I'm not interested in it. And we already know that once she finds out his role, it's gonna all blow up. So is it gonna blow up to, like, now this is nothing, or is it gonna blow up to her being silly and staying with him afterwards? I'm just not.
I mean, for me, as the resident Carson stan, I can't have her dating another one of Sonny's OG enemies. Not even, like, a new enemy. Like, Pikeman would be, like, a new enemy. You know, like, oh, why are you choosing to date this man who tried to destroy my empire? But, like, Jagger is, like, the OG enemy. And then it would go into, like, I would be asking him the same thing. Like, it's the, you know, like Nina, the Sonny kink of it all.
I don't like it.
Because that was my issue. Like, in this is a situation, this man could go straight to hell, but, like, the car jacks the Kim with the Kim. But I still didn't like it because it was this, like, their fight was always the same fight. And it was a fight that, like, you knew who you were marrying. You knew you were marrying this ride or die bitch who would give everything, including her firstborn child, to Jarson and not to you. And then you're surprised every fucking time she chooses them over you. Like, well, I'm different this time. That's why. And then same with Brenda. Like, you super surprised that Sonny's gonna take Carly's side in the carjack's divorce over Jack. You were shocked. The fuck? And so, like, that's the thing. Like, Jagger and Carly don't have a future because something's gonna happen where she has to choose between that man's badge and that man's fucking business, and she's always gonna choose his business.
Indeed.
She always gonna choose it. So, is this a silly, like I said, the Brennan thing, at least, you know, it seems like they could have him go evil at any point. And that's how, like, they did Alcazar. Right. They said Alcazar went full evil, and he was just like, I'll blow up the town. I don't care about it. And Jax was like, I guess I have to let Jason come in the house and murder him while I hold my baby. If you guys weren't watching OGGH,
that's one of the ones I would react to, because that's hilarious.
She just let him in the back door while she, like, holding the baby. Your daddy's getting murdered.
Don't worry about it.
My not brother.
A mess. What a mess. I forgot all about that. Also, of course, Nina, as you stated, ran to everybody to be like, Charlie did this. Now, here's the thing. I definitely thought she was going to stop when she saw Michael.
No.
She took it all the way.
Mama's fucking an FBI agent.
I'm like, do you want to see your grandkids or not? Because, like, she's like, Willow was nice about it. Michael was. I'm like, Willow was the first one disgusted to see you, but you keep picking at Michael. You're like, well, Michael, maybe your mommy. Like, it's just, I laughed. It was so out of pocket. I also laughed at Curtis continuing to give her a pass. Like, he looked at her like she was wild. I was like, this isn't good, but he was still like, I love you, girl.
He's like, she's hurting. She's hurting right now. That's what's happening.
P.S. Had Nina ever seen Curtis walk since he's been in the wheelchair?
No.
So he was standing up and she couldn't even be bothered to be like, oh my God. You know what I mean? These are the kind of moments I think that are wild, that, like, don't give, like, that balance. Nina could still have been wild like that and then stopped in her tracks after seeing Curtis and be like, oh my God.
He was like, Dina, you're out of line. And she was like, no, I'm not. He's a piece of shit. You'll see one day, Curtis. He was like, I love you. What was that business adventure you wanted to start up with me, Drew? Like, Curtis is in a weird, fucked up Creeves triangle. Like, they're going to, Nina and Drew, when they finally implode, are going to put Curtis in the middle of the room and make him come to the one he loves more. And I think Drew might lose that.
I think so too. It's not a white woman. Mm-hmm. But I will also say that it's been interesting, like, seeing some of the dailies that I read at the end of the show every week and how they, like, are different than like what actually plays out. So this Curtis one, it's also weird because, like, the daily was like, Curtis suggests a business proposition to Drew. And while that is kind of what happened, like, Curtis was the one who, like, put it together and was like, this is what it makes sense to do. They had already pulled him in to talk to him. They'd already been like, what do you think? And you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like he just showed up with some business proposal. He was just like...
The only reason they seem like they wanted him is because he's, like, urban. Because, like, the wellness part, up until this moment, he was in a wheelchair. So, like, I don't understand, like, you want him to
Well, that doesn't stop him from being wellness and fitness.
That's very true. But I mean,
he was at the gym, in the chair.
He was at the gym, in the chair. I take it back. What I'm saying is that, like, it was very, like, we want to diversify and hit that urban market.
It was big urban, heavy on the urban.
Yeah.
It was... And then the other spoiler that was interesting, that it was like, Ava searches for something in Sunny's house. That was like the daily from last week. And it made it look different. I will say, dare I say, Ava kind of beat the allegation this week.
What the hell are we doing with Ava besides making her look like a pill popper?
Ava, why would you go find somebody's meds? Girl, if you don't go puff some Benadryl, what is going on here?
Those, like, over-the-counter little sleep aids, and they're blue and stuff, and you could take, like, 8 of those, and I'm sure you'll be fine. Like, but you were like, ooh, somebody's bipolar medication makes you drowsy.
So I like, I wonder if this is like, what is this setting up? So is this setting up her being like, Sunny, your medication is whack? Or is it like Jason asks Sunny if he's on his meds, and then Sunny picks up his meds and Ava's hand fingerprints are all over it? I am just curious as to what this is setting up. It also felt like a very drop in scene. Like, you know, they had been telling the story and they realized, oh, people are going to think Ava tampered with Sunny's meds, so we are doing this so that people know it wasn't her. Because it was like she's talking to herself. Clearly, you would have seen something if she was messing with his meds. I felt like that scene was very dropped in. I felt like the Hat Daddy and TJ scene was very dropped in. It's like, I think that the scene that they did with Trina by the grave was like very dropped in. It was like they must have seen some feedback and they were like, oh shit, let us do something.
I mean, I think that Ava, the weird thing is that they seem to really be setting up Sava by like having her not a part of this. And they're like, Sava's now salvageable. And there seem to be setting up Dante and Christina to be the ones with a problem with Ava.
Right.
And I'm like, you can't have these two have a problem with Ava when they didn't have a problem with Nina. That's actually crazy. Like, yeah. Nina makes them a better person after the kidnapping, but like, we'll never forgive Avery for what, or Ava for what she did to Morgan. Like, but then Michael and Jocelyn do? You know, so like their whole thing is like Ava's gonna slink in and like do whatever. What is she doing? Mm-hmm. Like, what is she doing? Like, she was literally married to Nicholas, and Nicholas was doing all the slinking and being a psychopath. And like, she was just living her life trying to like hold it together while this like random girl slept with her husband and tried to ruin her life. Like, y'all's beef doesn't make any sense. Like, you like Nina, like they've never actually given Christina a true real reason to like Nina besides her dad told her to.
Right. Yeah.
And now really like bad. So if your dad tells you like Ava, you're gonna go against him, why? What compels you to do that?
Ava, who actually has like is the mother to one of your siblings. That's weird. Yeah, no, I also agree. It was also that whole scene with Christina going to talk to Sunny was just like, oh my god, Joss was mean to me. Daddy, Joss was mean to me.
You like stick your dad on Joss. What do you want Sunny to do about that?
It was just like a very weird reason to go see him, but also like, so I was like reading like one of the wilder speculations that like Joss is gonna do something, like Christina is gonna like go into labor in the middle of like fighting with Joss, like kind of like Sam and Alexis, and that's gonna set up beef forever between the two of them, kind of thing. I don't know, it just didn't make any sense. Then they had the conversation about Blaze. I actually really like Christina and Blaze. I think that they're a cute couple. I don't like any of the writing around it.
I don't need homophobic Maria Santos. That's not at such all. A weird problem to have. And then, like, how are you this super public-facing person, but nobody knows that, like, you have a girlfriend who's a surrogate for her sister? Like, in this Big Brother state that we exist in, like, everybody would know everything.
Especially because for the birthday party, was it Leo's birthday party?
No, it's Scout's.
For Scout's birthday party, Danny and Jake were both, like, walking around, like, starstruck. You're telling me nobody took, like, a picture? Like, they weren't told not to do that, and Blaze was introduced there as Christina's girlfriend. So how, you know what I'm saying? Like, If there was like supposedly a pop star, I don't really understand Blaze's level of stardom, but if there's like a pop star that is like dating my auntie, I'm telling everybody. Not that even on no like gossip bad thing, but like you have said this is your girlfriend, so I'm like bragging about it.
I mean, yeah, Blaze and Christina, it's like this, I don't know how to write same-sex relationships, and so I'm gonna like fall back on like, closetedness and homophobia instead of just writing two people being together and being in love.
Right.
Like, you want to give, like, it's this weird acceptance that a good chunk of your audience is just the absolute worst. And, like, you feel the need to, like, educate them on why LGBT relationships or interracial relationships or all these other types of relationships matter. And it's like, you don't actually have to write like that. You could just write people having, like, well-adjusted, happy relationships and having normal issues. Like, I would find it more comforting than rather than having this, like, it gets better fucking story. If you had, like, Blaze just be that bitch, like Arizona Robbins, when Callie realized that she was kind of a hoe like Mark. And you're like, oh no, but she has this like personal, like public facing job where bitches can just be throwing themselves at her.
Yes.
And yada yada. Or you have Blaze be really uncomfortable with the fact that Christina is bi. That's actually an issue. Like, I don't want you to just, and maybe she has like, you know, when she was friends with the bartender or something like that, or she's talking about her relationships, or like Blaze realizes that like she's more experienced than Christina because Christina tends to date a lot of men. Just because she's on a soap opera and that story, that part of her rarely plays out on screen. Like, there were so many other things to do if you wanted to give them drama besides like homophobic Maria Santos.
And I don't even mind Maria Santos being there, but like, make it more compelling. I think the helicopter mom thing is compelling. We actually didn't need that. Coupled with the homophobia, I
would like her to be supportive of her daughter's life, her daughter's, you know, who she is and her choices, and to not like Christina for the thousands of fucking reasons you could give her to dislike Christina.
Right. Like, she could be cool to date a mobster's daughter. Like,
is it cool to date a pregnant woman who's pregnant with her own fucking baby by her sister's husband? That sounds messy as fuck. Like, she's worried about the deception contract. You need to be worried about that non-contract happening over there. Because your daughter's about to become a stepmom. Like,
yeah, that's... Woo. Well, let's actually talk about that. TJ goes to vent to Hat Daddy about Christina and the surrogacy. I have never seen something so male heavy in my whole life. What are y'all doing? He's like, it's almost like Christina is pregnant and we... Yeah! It is like Christina is pregnant.
When the baby's here, that's exactly what it is, Dr. Ashford.
It was also like Christina had the doctor's appointment that they didn't go to. You're telling me that Molly and TJ didn't go to a doctor's appointment? You're telling me that TJ, the doctor, couldn't make it to the doctor's appointment with Christina?
Especially when everything is at the hospital. Like, they do not have a doctor's office anywhere in the city limits of Port Charles. Anything you need to have done, you're going straight to that hospital.
I would have enjoyed... I think that TJ has been very much sidelined out of this story, out of his own surrogacy story. It's very weird. The Hat Daddy TJ scene felt like it was just dropped in because it's like, oh, we haven't seen Taj on screen in a while. And it was like, the things that they were saying sounded ridiculous.
He was just like, I think that there was a story to be mined there. But they have Christina almost doing too much. Like, she's like worried about her dad. She's trying to help Blaze find her truth. She's dealing with her homophobic Maria Santos mother. Like, she, as opposed to just falling in love with his baby. And like, instead of having them not go to appointments, you have them go. What if she just didn't tell her about that appointment? Like, they just weren't aware that she had an appointment. And she was like, well, you know, that actually would have made the line, like, it's like, you know, she's the one having the baby and she'll let us know when it gets here. You could have had like Christine, like him being like, I can tell that Christina's clearly falling in love with this baby and Molly can't see it.
Right.
Molly can't see it. And, like, I don't know how to get Molly to see it. And anytime I bring it up, she gets attitude or some bullshit. Talk about her sister loves her. And obviously, I can't talk to Christina about it. But, like, having it be, like, I don't like Christina because she's a bum-ass bitch who eats too much, like, takeout. and hangs out with her mobster father is actually insane.
The same mobster father who I used to live with who paid for my med school.
That one.
Yes. The most danger that TJ has ever been in as a result of the fact that his mama was a cop. That's what got him kidnapped.
Working for a mobster. Being blackmailed by a mobster.
So what are we talking about? It's just, I know you like Sunny. I don't care for Sunny. I'm fine with people not liking Sunny. Let's make it make sense. Let's let it have a real reason. Let's not just pull these things out of thin air. That doesn't make any sense to me. And to your point, I think a better way to have told that story would have been TJ ran into Christina at the hospital after she was coming out of appointment and was like, what are you doing here? And then she like had a doctor's appointment and was like, oh, I forgot to tell y'all. And then he like saw her gazing lovingly at a sonogram. And then to your point, then being like to Hat Daddy, she's having this baby without us and she's clearly falling in love with it and Molly doesn't realize it. The story that they're trying to tell, right?
Pretty much, I think that's where they're going because, like, here's the thing. Molly doesn't have any rights.
Right.
Molly has no rights. TJ doesn't have any rights until the baby's born.
Right.
And that's what, so, like, I get where they're coming from with that line about, it's like, she's having this baby, you know, by herself, essentially. Because, like, as the law states, like, until that baby's born, all of these decisions are Christina's. Mm-hmm. They're not TJ and Molly's. And then, like, once it's born, Molly has absolutely no legal precedent to this baby. And mm-hmm. they don't have any right to say, well, like, give me this baby, it's mine now.
Right.
Like, it's legally Christina's baby. Right. And so you could be having this kind of story, but, like, they want to have everyone, like, we would rather set up the Alexis getting her law license back so she can eventually be Christina's lawyer in this custody case. You know, like, because Molly's going to go so hard for TJ and mm-hmm. bring up every fucked up, and she knows where all the bodies are buried mm-hmm. when it comes to Christina. And so Alexis going to have to swoop in and be daughter versus daughter, mom versus daughter, Molly Wop. They're essentially redoing Lante versus Spixie.
Yeah. I also do wonder if we're going to see it differently because they are setting up Molly being really close to Alexis now in a way. So traditionally has always been Christina and Alexis. But now we're seeing a lot of Molly and Alexis. So I wonder if it's going to be something like, because Christina is Sunny's daughter, Christina will get Diane and Molly will get Alexis. I think that could be interesting. I think the other thing that could be interesting is if, because, you know, I've been moving for a Tali breakup forever. That couple is boring and they need to be broken up. I think you and I might have been talking about this, but, like, this Molly works with the Davis girls, mm-hmm. does not work with TJ.
No.
So if they broke up, if Molly and TJ broke up, and Molly and Christina were on one side versus TJ, that could also be interesting.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's one of those things where, for me, I actually need TJ to win. Yes. I think it's better story for Christina to have to, like, to get the maxi story of, like, a judge is like, you are an unfit mother.
Mm-hmm.
And here's all the reasons why. And so it could be, but they don't want to tell the story. Like, TJ seems to be in that story by himself while Molly is over here helping Alexis become a lawyer again. And Christina's over here, like, with Blaze and her dad. It's mm-hmm. just the disconnectedness. Like, I think the connective tissue that holds the Pikeman story together with, like, 27 different characters on this show is so missing from Molly and TJ and Christina, is because they've been pulled into various parts of the Pikeman story as well. So mm-hmm. they're like, I guess we're having, that's why this, like, all, like, even with, like, Curtis and Drew and stuff like that, that seems so random. They're like, we're gonna talk about wellness and shit.
Like, then TJ's gonna make Christina go
And so,
yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh yeah, it's just so it's very disjointed. And it means there's not as much investment. I think with like the Spixie, Lante, you know, Maxie's having her own baby secret story. That story went through the whole pregnancy. It was the whole pregnancy, and you watched Maxie start to fall in love with her baby and try to talk herself into giving it away. And then, you know, Georgie's born, and now we're actually dealing with it.
Mm-hmm.
But you also saw
the other side falling in love with the idea of a baby. Like, we saw Lante prepare for this baby, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Like, I can't even believe I said Lante. Say sleep, Lulu. You know, I'm not into that. But it's the same thing. Like, if I think back to like a story like Baby Lila and Sam, we watched her go through that whole pregnancy. We watched them prepare for that baby. You know, why have we not seen Molly and TJ baby-proofing their home, putting up a crib, accepting gift? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, Molly's a planner. She's, like, very, like, I want to see Molly with a checklist at the house. Like, okay, we need this, this, and that. To really show that there's some investment. Because right now on screen, we've really, when we see Molly, she's talking about Alexis's law license. She's not talking about being a mom.
No. So she about Alexis is drinking more than being a mom.
Exactly. So I just feel like this is another example of they're going to have to be heavy-handed towards the end, where they, if they would have just told a story along the way, we wouldn't have had to see that.
No.
So anyway, a couple updates. So we got Willow is going to be a lady who lunches. No more nurse for her, I guess. Chillin' wedding plans and also honeymoon plans. Sodi is playing with horses. And Pertis is reconnecting. So let's go one by one. Willow and Michael. Willow decides, or is really thinking about the fact that being a nurse means she can't see her kids that much. And Michael was like, come do these charities, girl. You just like my great-grandma Lila.
She's in her rich era.
Yeah.
Married rich era, and she's just gonna. The only thing that makes me nervous about Willow being denursed is that it signals to me, I could be wrong, it signals to me the like descaling of the hospital, that like we're not gonna be at the hospital unless we absolutely have to be.
Mm.
And we're gonna be utilizing other sets, namely it seems the Metro Court, because it's so many people, like it's starting to become the center of the show. You have like, you know, Drew's offices, Nina's offices, the Invaders there. Obviously, like,
is the Invaders in the Metro Court?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't think I realized that.
Everything's at the Metro Court, and so you have like a lot of the characters being there. And then if they get Carly back in the restaurant, I guess, as the host by what's her face, you know, everybody would just be centralized there. But I mean, it made sense to me. Like, I wasn't offended. I never really liked her as a nurse to begin with. It just seemed like they didn't want to utilize that teacher, that classroom set. And then they didn't want her to, you can just have her have a job that we don't see. We don't need to see people's jobs all the time. But sure, if she wants to be in her married rich era, I'm fine with it. It just seems like they're settling Milo. Like, they're going to give them the Edward Lila mantle. And so I'm like, what? Does he just start cheating on her a bunch? She just show up with a secret family? Like, what's going on with Milo?
Yeah, I mean, the Edward and Lila archetype is very, very specific. It's like ruthless rich man with like an angelic woman with edge, right? Like, she's lovely and everybody loves her. She has a sharp tongue sometimes. Like, that's like the very, and we've seen that across other soaps. We've seen that on Days. We've seen that in other soaps where this has been the archetype of like a couple. Michael is not ruthless enough to make that work. So not only they have always written Michael as like this balanced, like level-headed, whatever character. So he's like, they could be trying to Lilify Willow all they want. I don't think that they are bold enough to Edward Michael. Like, whether it be, you know, a separate family or and like cheating, or it be being like super ruthless to people outside, like even within the family, we have like, we don't see that from Michael. So I don't know. This feels, I guess they were trying to do it with Ned and Olivia and it didn't work.
Ned's but, the same way. He made more sense as Eddie Main than he did as Ned Quartermain, to be honest. And then like, he's just not ever going to go on contract at GH because like, he just plays two really important characters on two different soaps.
Right.
And so he's just not going to commit to it, which I respect. He's like, I have the perfect amount of work between these two soaps, playing Justin Kiriakis and playing Ned Quartermain. So, you know, I think Olivia, they're just trying to, it's a big reset. I think, you know, and I think Liz gets a lot of the blame when I don't think that she should. These are joint decisions between two head writers.
But oh, I think
she gets a lot of the blame for any like issues that are being, that are seen on the show because she's been here longer and they're clearly doing a reset that like, you know, they're admitting, and I don't think there's anything wrong with a reset. I think that like, it's very smart to acknowledge that like a lot of the sort of shakeups that Chris and Dan did not work out for different reasons and trying to reset things back, put people back to where they were prior to Chris and Dan, trying to like put friendships and relationships, whether they be good or bad, back where they were prior to Chris and Dan. I think that they're a little too heavy-handed with it in the long run. Like Olivia's theme with Carly, which is like bitching about Nina. Like, but you've been fighting Carly this entire time for every little thing for 2 years, from Ned getting hit in the pool, whether or not he turned them in, you thinking Jason shot Dante, like you just taking Nina's side, planning the stone, a wedding, like it, just to have her come in and be like, Nina's a bitch. Is she?
That's like, y'all was getting cool.
Yeah, I thought you guys were friends, you know, but they want to reset that back. The Sunny Anna of it all. I'm like, okay, I get that you want Anna to be police commissioner and you want her to feel this way. She doesn't feel like, she didn't build her relationship with Sunny based off of Robin. She built her relationship with Sunny based off of Duke. And you can't really pretend like that didn't happen. Like she had a whole chase a man across, you know, international fucking borders and like threaten the Ecuadorian police officer's family. To get Carlos back with Sunny, and now, you know, him threatening to murder Cyrus somehow a bridge too far, like you know, it's very just, they're resetting characters too much in a certain respect, and then like they're doing it very heavy-handedly in other respects, and then it's just it's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. The other couple we talked about was Chilin. So with their wedding planning, she's finally got her dress together, and apparently Chase sold his truck so that he could take her on a honeymoon. I like Chilin. I think that they're very cute. I think Amanda and Josh are very cute together. I don't care about the story. I want them to find something better for them than like one of us is broken, one of us is not.
Normalize men being okay with women who have more money.
Yeah.
Normalize men being okay just joining the Quartermain family and being in this family and being like a random outsider and not being like, he should be as comfortable. The most uncomfortable part about him joining that family would have having to see Willow so often. And Michael being happy, but like he should not have had to sell his truck. Like he should, the fact that he's not more like, if they want to have a real conversation about like, here's the thing, I don't want to get used to a certain lifestyle that I might not be able to maintain, or I don't want to feel like if I need to leave I can't leave because I'm like under your thumb and stuff like that, and that's what I'm really nervous about. Not this like, I'm a man. And as a man, I need to provide. And like, I need to be providing you with this honeymoon. And I need to contribute. No, you don't. You have this rich ass old woman who's willing to just throw money at you, throw money at your wedding, throw money at her granddaughter because, like, this is one of the weird ways she shows love. And you're like, let me sell my truck because I'm a man.
Well, man, don't you know? I agree with that. I think I just hate it, to be honest. I also feel like, why does she have to scale back on what she is used to or what she wants to do because she's rich? Because you, like, she doesn't want to feel bad that you might not be able to afford it. Even when they were talking about all this stuff, like, going around Italy, I'm like, watching him, like, he probably counting pennies, like, how much gelato costs every night. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I would prefer him in, like, this conversation. And I know they're supposed to have a conversation next week, so we don't know. But to have a conversation that's like, look, I know the money is always going to be imbalanced between us. And I want to make sure that we have ways of, like, contributing to this house, like, together, that I don't, like, that we find ways to show love, that it's not just money. That could be a way to, like, give Chilin some, like, something that they do together. Like, oh, we give each other small gifts that don't cost money, like, every once in a while, and start a tradition. Because I think that people who are fans of that couple would appreciate that. That's what they used to do with old school couples. And I think they tried to do a little bit of that trope with Sabrina as well. Like, what are the small things that, like, that people who are really fans of that couple can, like, hold on to and say, oh, this is our trope, or this is something that we do. That's what they should do with Chilin, and have it not be about money, as opposed to then having Brooklyn scale back because she doesn't want him to feel bad because he broke.
Yeah, silly. Like, because that's
taking an Uber around town because you ain't got no truck, and I'm supposed to feel good about that?
That part, because, like, I really thought the scenes between Tracy and Brooklyn, and that's why it's always hard to sort of criticize the writing, because the acting's so good. Yeah. And I actually went back, those are a few of the scenes I went back to rewatch, was, like, Brooklyn and Tracy. And so, like, those scenes are really beautiful, where she's trying to explain, yeah, like, this is how it is as a woman of me, marrying economically down, essentially. Like, right, you know, he's up in every fucking way except for his bank account. And so, like, that's the real thing. And, like, I think that is a beautiful conversation. It's a real conversation to have. It's just, like, the idea that he had to sell his truck in the first place because he had to pay for... Why isn't Gregory paying for the fucking honeymoon? That's my right thing. Like, why does Chase have to pay for this honeymoon? Shouldn't it be Gregory selling his whatever that, like, really meant something to him, and then he gets into some speech and Tracy's like, I can afford everything, and he gets into some speech, and, like, that's what prompts the conversation between Brooklyn and Tracy, not because Chase is out here being some man, but because she's actually dealt with this with Gregory, who's having to sell off things to pay for a better honeymoon than West Palm Beach, because it does sound like a something that an old person would, well, why don't you guys go to West Palm Beach? I'm going to pay for it. And they're like, yeah, yay. And everybody's like, and then he thinks about it, and, you know, he decides to do this Florence trip, which is still kind of, like, really aggressively high class and cultured for Brooklyn and Chase, to be honest. But, like, you know,
I'm sure why you gotta do them like this.
Whatever, I just think Paris is more there, but I know Paris is spring of spot, so they can have Florida, they can have Florence. But, like, have him be this old school person, and then, like, Chaylin get to have a conversation, and, you know, Chase is like, look, you know, is it, you know, a little weird that you just have an ungodly amount of money and can just pack up and leave me anytime you fucking want? Yeah, but, you know, I don't want your money. I want you. And, like, I know that you're not with me for money. And, you know, they can have a beautiful scene. It's just this idea that Chase is, like, he's been imbued with these fucking, you know, archaic ideas about men, you know, providing and stuff, especially because I work so hard in my real life job to break young men of this idea. Like, I explain to them, like, one of the best arguments that feminism has ever had is that misogyny is bad for men. That, like, you have all this undue pressure on yourself. Like, you are expected to, like, provide a 2-story, 5-bedroom home, 2 cars, like, 2.5 kids, vacations every year, you know, presents, Christmas, birthdays, all this. You're supposed to do this no matter how much fucking money you make. It's a lot. It's a lot of pressure. And like, that's why the language around relationships has changed from these very gendered, conformist, like things, wife, husband, girlfriend, boyfriend, to partners. We're in it together. Nobody has a higher rank than anyone else. Nobody's like telling anyone else what to do. Like, we help each other in different ways. Like, it's great that like, if something happens to Chase, like Brooklyn has the money to pay for anything and all that stuff. But like, what he gives her is something more important than money. It's like stability. It's like a safe harbor to be at. It's someone who loves you and respects you despite your all your money and stuff like that. And like, they never acknowledge it. They're just like, ooh, isn't you're looking at that 1990s Sam story where like she doesn't want to have to depend on Jason. Like, she wants Jason. I don't want to see it. Selling his truck. We just sell his truck because trucks are awful and terrible for the environment.
Though I am a little bit of the problem, because anytime a man argues with me, I tell him to go build a house or something. So it's me. I'm the problem. It's me.
And we love the big truck. Like, anytime we get together, the car rental is always like the most massive. They see me rolling.
Y'all don't know that Tara was with me. Like, very quick story time. For my birthday last year, we went to go see Crew. We went to go see Carly and Drew live. And so I was like, I want to rent the biggest, most ignorant truck I could find. And they first gave me a Yukon. And then we rolled to go get our nails done. And if you don't know about Oakland, there's a lot of car theft. We have our own word for it out here. It's called bipping. This is a little regional school for everyone. And then, yeah, I got bipped. So, as Tara remembers, when, you go to the car rental place and they're like, what are you about to do? I was like, I'm about to hit the streets for my birthday. So when I had to take the truck back, because the window was broken, the guy was like, what happened? I was like, he was like, I thought you was hitting the streets. And I was like, the streets hit me back. And so then they gave me an Expedition, which is truly the largest thing I've ever driven. And so I feel like that was me breaking down gender norms one truck at a time. That part. But I don't think Chase had an Expedition. He probably had like an F-150 or something.
I know. He seemed like he had a flatbed. I'm like, what did you need it for? What was the reason?
Just to my dad, share, like your
my
dad.
My dad had like an F-150. He had a flatbed, but he was a carpenter. He was like a construction. He had like to put logs and wood and shit in the back of his truck. Like, what is Chase putting in the back of his F-150?
Nothing now because he doesn't have it.
That part.
Other couples, just to go through really quickly, just so that we know, we name them. Sody playing with horses. I cannot believe this is what they got Sasha doing. I'm so sorry for Sody fans. Both of them could leave and I wouldn't miss them. And I like Sasha, but they could leave and I wouldn't miss them.
They have no idea what they're doing. They're trying their hardest, their damnedest. I don't know why this is the story they want to salvage from Chris and Dan's era, but like, they're trying to hold off for like John York, you know, sending good vibes to him. Like, I know he got a, I heard he got a match, so hopefully he's doing a lot better. But like, John York is out to like focus on his health. And you cannot tell this fucking story without Mac. You cannot tell it. And so you can't just have this. They had the like Felicia, like, I was wrong. You aren't Mac's son, even though we know he's Mac's son. Stupid. So like, send them away until you know that John York is coming back. And then you can have him come back, have Sasha come back, have some like deception thing that brings her back, or she comes back to see Sunny and they talk about Brando or some shit. Have her come back and then like we can start this when we need to start it. But having her go from top like supermodel to like shoveling horse shit at the Quartermain stable for free and being the cook.
It ain't cute. And then Curtis, Portia and Curtis reconnect.
That's why Trina can't be in the fucking scenes, because we got to have Curtis bang right after they have necessary conversations for everyone in their family.
I've never been a fan of them. I do like this idea of having Black couples on the show. I grew up, I didn't even watch All My Children, but I was a fan of Angie and Jesse. And then when I was watching All My Children, and then their son came, and he had like a very beautiful girlfriend, I loved them. So I do think there is something really beautiful about seeing Black couples on these shows, because to establish Black family. Curtis and Portia ain't it. They're not good.
They just had such a terrible introduction. Like, this idea that, like, she met Curtis because she was having an affair with him when she was married to Taggart, and then, like, she didn't know who the father of her baby was, that she guessed wrong.
I don't know.
They found out at their wedding, and it was a whole thing that he got shot after he made out with his ex-wife. It was just so messy for no reason. I'm like, if you're going to have them be this messy, like, ingratiate them more in the cast and have them not be messy with each other. Because, like, they're, you know, Jordan is Jordan Ashford Ashford, question mark on the maiden name. And then Portia, like, literally married the man who she had an affair with. Like, she didn't need a connection to Port Charles, to be honest. Trina was her connection to Port Charles. Like,
right.
They could have just been from out of town. They moved here when Trina was, like, 13 or 14. And then she meets Curtis, she falls in love with him. She didn't need to have this weird connection with him. Or she'd give her a different connection. Like, there was plenty of other Black people you've disappeared that you could give her a connection to. It's just very, very weird. And they keep trying to make it work. And it's not even like a situation where the actors are bad. I mean, I think Brooke is slightly better than Donnell, but Donnell is better when he's with other actors. Like, he's better with, like, in scenes where he's actually doing stuff and, like, this is a terrible word to use, but supporting other people, like, when they're having their moment and he's like, I'm here for you. Like, when they try to give him the story, because the stories are so heavy-handed. It's like he's getting shot. He's finding out he has a daughter.
I mean, some of the action stuff is good. I really like it when they pair him with Jeannie Francis. Mm-hmm. Like, they're a really good duo together. I think that, for me, I don't really need a lot of emotional heavy stuff from him. I think he's way better when it's like the action heavy stuff. So if you have something for him that's like centered on him, that's action heavy, and then you get people who are other like good scene partners for him to come along, like Jeannie, like Laura, like Sam, he's a really good scene partner with Sam. Give Nina something to do and have Nina helping him like uncover some kind of secret. Like, those things are interesting, but like the really heavy emotional stuff doesn't connect for me with Curtis.
Having him at the champagne room has grown on me, because Curtis is a pretty neutral character in Port Charles. He has like either good or neutral relationships with pretty much everybody on the cast. So having a space where people who didn't actually like each other could meet was actually a good thing, because that's the issue with the Metro Court. The Mellow scene is the main issue with the Metro Court, even when Carly owned it. There was always a moment where you didn't understand why certain people were even there. Like, every time you see Diane meet a client there, you're like, why do you give Nina your money? Like, I don't understand why you're doing that. Like, Michael was like, you wanted to come here for the souffle. You could pay a private chef to come to the Quartermain Mansion and make you a goddamn chocolate souffle. You actually didn't have to go out to dinner. Especially not here.
Yeah.
It's just very silly. And that was the thing with the Metro Court, you know, like, they always, like, had people who hate Carly showing up to her hotel. And I'm like, this is the only hotel in town? Yes. Is this or the Days Inn? Like, and now if they give Carly the Metro Court, she owns every place to stay in town, essentially. Like, Kelly, you sleeping on the fucking streets if you my girl's enemy.
You out here. God. The biggest op for Lucy is Lucy. She failed at Home and Heart. Maxie's face the whole time. Kirsten Storms is in her bag, okay? She looks really good. Every time she shows up, it's a delight. But Lucy, girl, what was that?
She was like, I used to be the face of, I used to be out here. I was hosting the nurses ball. I was a partner at ELQ. I was a deciding partner. Like, I was doing all these things. Like, that's, and you're like, what the fuck is happening right now? Like, why are you making Morgan Fairchild write? Because Morgan Fairchild was like, bitch, we don't know you. You're not tested. You're not good. And she's like, I host all the time. Mm-hmm. And then immediately crash and burn. And like, it's such a weird, that's a heavy-handed, you know, they just decided one day. And it was funnier with this story and this story only when they were like, we're gonna openly take a side, we're gonna openly say we do not care that Tracy literally stole this company from this woman, that Lucy, it's her fault, she deserved to have her company stolen, she's awful. We like Tracy, we, Jane Elliott's on contract and Lynn Herring is the, so obviously we have to be team Tracy. And mm-hmm. I'm like, that's funny, but like them doing it across the board is actually insane. Mm-hmm. And then making, they are even having like, what is Maxie to do? Because I think that that's like, I think a question you've been asking. I think Susie's been asking it. This idea, like, why is Maxie taking Brooklyn and Tracy's side? Like, they did this to her too.
Right. And also, you see these really beautiful scenes between Brooklyn and Tracy, and you're like, and so you're just gonna, and I'm supposed to expect Brooklyn to like deceive Tracy for Maxie?
That part. And so it seems like, it just seems like they're working really hard to make Maxie make sense. Like, they've decided to do this plan where Brooklyn supposedly will give deception to Maxie. And so they're working overtime to make Lucy awful, to make it make sense why Maxie would team up with the bitches who ruined her life.
Right. Right.
And so that's where we're at.
It's weird.
And unfortunately, they have some of the best actresses in that storyline, so they're pulling it off.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, you, if you, I mean, because like I said, I've just chosen to be on Brooklyn and Tracy's side long ago. So like, for me, I'm like, I'm winning. Like, everybody, Lucy is everybody's op, and everybody's Lucy's op, including Lucy. And so,
and see, I'm team Lucy. I'm like, dang, girl, what is she doing? Tuck it in that crazy. But you know what? I think that that's the other piece that like, frustrates me a little bit when I see a little bit, not all, because you know, Lord knows I don't get into anybody's conversation online, but like this idea that like everything is so unfair to Nina. Because I'm like, actually, have you seen what they're doing to Lucy?
Yeah.
And if you've watched long enough, have you seen what they've done to Ava? You telling me nothing that they've done to Nina is worse than they did Denise DiMuccio? Like, absolutely nothing. One of the most ridiculous things I've ever seen. And then Morgan started sleeping with her. Like, it was just
the worst thing that ever happened. I mean, this is my opinion, obviously, but for me, the worst thing that ever happened to Nina, where I had to be like, damn, what we doing this, was when they had her mom and Rick gaslighting her while banging. Yeah,
that's
right. I was like, this is crazy. And here's the thing, Donna Mills still got it. She still got body yada yada. So like, it really did make sense that Rick Hurst was like, I'm gonna fuck this woman in her 70s. That's what's hot. That's me. I wasn't even like, Rick, what the fuck are we doing? Because they did, and this isn't to say anything against Constance Townsend, because like, they did try to pull up the ick factor anytime Helena was trying to bang someone on the cast. They were like, oh no, Jax might have to bang Helena. That's so gross. But like, with Madeline, you were like, all right, I get it. Giving Knots Landing, and I get it. And so that was just so embarrassing for Michelle Stafford to just get like mollywopped in the soap heroin department by a little G legend, Donna Mills. Everybody got That's right. it.
That's yes. So I think that there is like, because it's like up against the Carly of it all, I don't know, people might feel that way, but I just feel like I'm not saying that if Nina was my fave, I mean, she could never be, but if she was my fave, like, I could understand, like, the frustration, but, like, putting it into context of how some of these characters have been done, I'm sorry, like, there's been much worse than what has happened to Nina. Because also, they create situations where people who shouldn't be on her side are on her side. No reason Christina should be on her side. Not even about Carly and Drew, but, like, remembering what Nina has done to Sam.
I mean, she don't give a fuck about Sam.
Right, but, like, you know, then you got Curtis. You come in here wilding against his other bestie, and he's just like, love you, girl. Like, they write people to still have, like, sympathy for Nina. Of course, with Jason, Steve Burton can't even hide how he feels about Nina. Because if you listen to his podcast, anytime anybody's on his podcast and talks about Nina, he's like, what is this? So, anyway, all that to say, you know, we'll see what happens with her. I feel like they might be leading her towards a breakdown.
Maybe. They're definitely de-jobbing her. They're putting her back to one fucking job, which is hilarious. Because she gave the publisher job to that weirdo gossip columnist who also had no qualifications. I'm like...
And Valentine's okay sure with that?
That's what I'm saying. Where is he at? And then she's selling the Metro Court. All of a sudden, after 2 years, she's just like, you know what? I hate it here. I hate this hotel. I hate everybody. I hate hospitality. Because obviously I'm the worst, so why would I be good at it? Let me sell it for 9%. And then Diane's like, cool, 9%. She's like, I don't even know if I want to. Let me think about it. And so
I just hate the idea of Jason buying this thing for Carly. It's not as if she doesn't know a whole bunch of other rich people. This idea that it has to be Jason and Carly. I don't care. Just saying.
I wanted her to scheme to get it. That's how she got it the first time.
Me too. Her and Luke. I wanted her to scheme to get it too.
Then I wanted her to just be like, Luke will be proud.
Yeah.
That's how we get things. We channel here. Luke just appears. Yeah, Luke Spencer just appears. The force goes. Like, scheme for your life. This is how we get Tony Gary back. Yes,
Forrest Ghost. Well, the last thing I wanted to talk about was Anna and Valentine. Valentine, I loved the whole scene because it was clear Anna was looking at him like, who are you talking to? And he was like, so nervous. Valentine was like, I was really unpopular in high school and y'all were very popular. And he still felt away.
I mean, it was just the gaslighting of it all. He was like, ooh, you making that up? I will never spend more than 10 words. She was like, I remember you talking to this man at the club. What are you saying? Like, y'all were always taking it. She was like, no, we weren't. You just made that up.
I was never there. I don't know. The reason I appreciated it is because he was doing that. And he knew and she knew that she was not buying that. And for me, that's, like, very classic them. She's just looking at him like, you gonna keep saying this? Mm-hmm. Anna Devane, you gonna keep lying? And Valentine's like, yes, I'm gonna keep lying.
I mean, I think we need more. Like, we need to actually have Pikeman in the story because currently they're writing a Sunny breakdown story.
Right.
And so more of, like, Anna Devane and the PCPD. I did see the photos of like Dex and like the saddest police training photo I've ever seen. He's like holding a fake gun. He was like, stop.
On desk duty.
He wasn't wearing, someone made fun of him not wearing socks. I thought he was wearing the ankle socks. But then like if he just showed up to the police training in the parking lot with no socks on. Somehow that's hilarious to me. And so I feel like it's very weird because I know like 2-3 weeks ago, like definitely me and like Susie, we were complaining about Cop Hospital. Like, mm-hmm. Oh my God, it's like Snitch Hospital. And now the cops have just disappeared. They just disappear. We're back to Mob Hospital. except it's going legit hospital because Jason's going legit.
Because Jason's just a coffee importer now.
And you're like, what's happening here? What's going on? And so, yeah, I think we need more Pikemen. That's the Australian man who's in jail now who plays Pikemen.
Jonathan Brennan. Or no, yeah. Wait, it's Jack. Jack.
He's still on his under the year limit, so he's Pikeman. Gotcha. And then there. Jagger is blonde. Jagger is the blonde Jagger.
Surfer Jagger.
Mm-hmm. But like, we need more Pikeman. We need more Valentine. Like, just lock JPS in the studio and make him film like 3 months worth of scenes with whoever he needs to film them with, and then right. Send him on his way and let him go work his very busy career. Like, we need to be doing stuff with him. We need more Anna. We need Dex snitching, I guess. We need to know what Jason's doing. Somehow we need less Carson. We need less Carson. Like, we know what their role in this shit is, and it's not important whatsoever. It's to apologize. Well, Sunny is going to be to apologize to Jason, and Carly to be like, I always knew, Jason. I knew you were doing it for us. We actually do need to get back to Cobb Hospital now, because, like, I feel like you heard my complaints. There's too much Snitch Hospital, but now it's not enough Snitch Hospital. Like, what's going on?
So not enough snitcher happening.
Yeah, just snitch to me at least, and not have Jason be an FBI informant. So upsetting.
Well, I feel like we've talked about every story. We've done all the things. I don't have any more hot takes because I'm cold. I'm cold. I have cold takes. Anything for you that we didn't talk about?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think it was just the. How crazy it is for grown Ava to just be taking random pills. She didn't even Google what it was.
She didn't take no picture, no pill finder, just mm-hmm. But it was like they were like, hey, they thought that maybe Ava was playing with, okay, so now we gotta let them know. Okay, so what do we do? Maura, could you come in here and shoot this real quick?
They gave Sunny like a whole home set. Yeah, like sure a did. Bedroom, and they're gonna use that bedroom. Oh, they will God. Be using that bedroom. That's the save a bedroom now. Or it might be. Here's my speculation. I'll speculate before we go to what's happening next week. Is it the save a bedroom, or is it the random Sunny Maria Santos bedroom,
or both?
Or both?
Because we know how Sunny get out.
I can see them putting him with Maria Santos. He helps her learn how to accept the LGBT community or some shit.
Whatever. And it's,
you know, Sunny, the true activist of Port Charles.
Ugh. I can't even talk about it. Next week, Monday, Carly updates Jason. Tracy receives welcome news. Sunny meets with Drew.
I don't want you here. I don't want you or your brother here.
And then Drew's like, bang your wife. Jagger shares his suspicions with Anna. Ava continues to snow Nina.
Is that what she's been doing? Are we acknowledging that that's what she's doing? Because that's the first acknowledgement we've made that she's doing that.
Right.
Excellent friend. The friend that Nina deserves. Continue.
Tuesday. Laura and Anna come to a mutual realization. Trina questions Jocelyn and Dex about their relationship. I actually do really like Tabiana's scenes with both Eden, and I think that her and Dex are really funny together. So I'm interested to see what that looks like. But let Trina do something else besides this. Ooh. Anyway, Alexis and Finn support each other. Brooklyn and Chase have an honest discussion about money. Okay. Elizabeth opens up to Gregory. Wednesday, Carly and Jagger get closer. Cyrus goes on the record to Anna. What's up with Cyrus's radio show? We only had that one. We're missing out. Lois asks Sunny if he will attend the wedding.
Sunny get arrested at Brooklyn and Chase's wedding. now that Cyrus is going on the
yes.
Carly got arrested at the Milo wedding. So, Carson, they're just meant to be. They're soulmates. Constantly stay getting arrested at people's weddings.
Dex takes another step towards his career.
What?
Ava keeps something from Sunny. Thursday. Sunny learns that Dex is becoming a cop.
meat hook. Get the meat hook, Sunny.
Jason gives Carly a gift. Nina spars with Drew. Lois and Brooklyn have a heartfelt talk. Jocelyn has a plea for Anna.
My man.
Friday, Sunny and Carly have it out. Nina makes a discovery. Sam tells Jason to stay away from Danny. Drew and Willow reconnect. That's weird.
Maybe he's helping Nina. Maybe he actually... Because I swear I feel like they should... These things should be in a different order between Nina and Drew. But, like, maybe he is like, you should talk to your mom.
Anyway, and Lois impresses Maxie with her deception knowledge. Oh, maybe Lois will come work in deception. Get more Lois. Well, that is what we have for this week. You also know what's happening next week. Tara, thank you for coming through, blessing us.
No problem.
Make sure that you listen to Port Misery whenever Tara uploads. You'll know. If you subscribe to Port Misery, you'll know what happens. Because that's how I find out. And also make sure that you like, subscribe, tell your friends about us. Thank you for listening. If you listen to the end, and we will see you next week. Bye.
Bye.